report from ABC News, Baltimore Bridge Collapse. I'm Michelle Franzen. The search continues for six people still unaccounted for after that cargo ship slammed into a section of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, causing it to collapse. President Biden offering condolences and says federal aid and resources are on the fast track to help Baltimore recover.
Search and rescue operation is our top priority. Ship traffic in the Port of Baltimore has been suspended until further notice.
ABC's Sam Sweeney says the investigation is now centering on what caused the ship to lose power and control.
The crew who takes this on this 27-day journey was not actually in control of the ship at the time. When you are in a harbor like this in a confined water space, they bring on what are known as local pilots. They are experts in this area. They know where the ship needs to go. They know where it needs to go underneath the bridges and how to get safely out into the open water.
Authorities say there are no signs of terrorism. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden's campaign co-chairman is in Wisconsin today and tomorrow. Mitch Landers spearheaded the president's trillion-dollar infrastructure plan. He's here to talk to local leaders about the economy. Stops include Madison, Milwaukee, Racine, La Crosse, Sheboygan, and Wausau. Political spending by anonymous donors is reaching record highs. Anna Masolia is the author of a new report by Open Secrets. She says that kind of money often pays for misleading attack ads.
When you have dark money groups fueling this spending, the voter may not know what interest the secret donors behind that have.
Masolia says dark money often comes from 501c4 nonprofits, which have few legal limits on how they can spend their money. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLCX, The Eagle in La Crosse, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A Packers-themed bar in downtown La Crosse is scheduled for demolition. Glory Days will be torn down in a couple of weeks. The green and gold building was damaged almost 2 years ago by a fire that destroyed the building next to it. After no bids were sent to the city's Public Works Committee, a private contractor applied to knock down the building. Demolition is scheduled for April 8th. A construction project is underway to add lanes to Highway 14 in Westby. The project will widen North Main Street and also add a roundabout at its intersection with Main Street. The cost of the project is $11.8 million, which was approved by the DOT and Governor Tony Evers. Highway 14 will stay open with some detours, and construction will last until next summer. Today, temperatures will fall as snow chances increase. Less than an inch of snow is expected across most of the Coulee region. It'll be gusty today with winds getting as high as 25 miles per hour. It'll be sunny the next couple of days, and temperatures will warm up to the mid-50s by the end of the week. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas through the whole premiere. His biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Bucks and the Lakers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks host the LA Lakers tonight at 5 Sir Forum. The Bucks' Bobby Portis asked, what's it like to finally have Chris Middleton back?
It's fun to have a whole team, fun to, you know, build it these last 11, 10 games and, you know, try to turn in the right direction, man. It's that time of year now and it's exciting.
Baseball, the Brewers have some injury concerns. Outfielder Garrett Mitchell will be out the next 4 to 6 weeks or longer with a fractured left hand suffered in batting practice over the weekend. And a report from baseball insider John Heyman says that Jackson Chourio will need tending to his elbow nearly every day following an injury he suffered as a 12-year-old in a Venezuelan youth league. NFL Packers GM Brian Gutekunst says he has no problem signing Jordan Love to a contract extension sometime soon.
Certainly having 4 years with him, I think, gives us a lot of comfort what he's all about and how, you know, his teammates look at him and the organization looks at him.
That's the Packers Brian Gutekunst with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A wintry mix of rain and snow is flipping over to all snow as temperatures are falling below freezing by 4 o'clock. Battling breezy winds, around a half an inch of snow accumulation is possible, not to mention a flash freeze of anything that's wet. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 35.
As you age, you may have questions about finding transportation, healthy meals, or other services around your home and in your community. And the Elder Care Locator has the answers at 1-800-677-1116. Our caring advisors can connect you to trustworthy local experts and the support you need to age well at home. Real people, real assistance, and real connections are just a phone call away with the Elder Care Locator. 1-800-677-1116.
Wednesday on Matt Nair On Air, we talked to someone working with a group called Republican Voters Against Trump, and our civic media meteorologist joins us. Don't miss it.
Soaring from high above Holman and UW La Crosse, this is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490.
Telling these tears go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I can't move. Freedom,
what is up, Wisconsin? Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. And as you have heard so many different voices this week and last say, this is not Maggie Dawn. It shouldn't come as any surprise. I'd like to think I sound slightly different than Maggie Dawn. If for nothing else, I have far less important things to say most of the time. But today, something I would consider important, something I think some other folks in civic media would consider important, we're going to be talking for the vast majority of our time today about film incentive, the film incentive tax program. We used to have it. We don't. We might get it back. What is it? I don't know. That's why I bring experts and friends and such onto the show to discuss it. One such expert I've got with me is Calvin on the board operating the ones and twos. Thank you so much, Calvin. This job is just completely different when you can just sit here and kind of ramble and not also worry about if those ramblings are going out to air. They are. You have to hear them from me because Calvin does such a good job. So that's nice. That's nice to have. We're going to have a couple guests on today in a little bit. We're going to have Civic Media's own Pete Schwabe of Nightlight on. Some of you who listen during the daytime might have never heard that show. I know many of you go to bed early or you're up late or you're at work during that show, so you'll get a little taste of it today, at least, if nothing else. And later on, we're going to have somebody from kind of the epicenter of the organization trying to bring these tax incentives for filming back to Wisconsin. We're going to have Jeffrey Kurz on, who just so happens to have been a professor of mine when I was in film school. And not just any professor. He wasn't my animation 101 or anything like that. He was actually my essentially how to be a producer professor. He taught me how to do what I now do for this company. So who else could I have on, you know, in this first episode where I'm finally bringing guests around? So with that, I've probably done enough blathering. I'll say, if nothing else, listen until the 3 p.m. hour for when Jeff joins us and also when our Ride into Spring contest kicks off. We don't have a word for you this hour, but we do next hour. And if you text it in, you will be entered to win a night at the Chula Vista in the Wisconsin Dells. As well as later on, you might win yourself a blender, a bike, or a patio love seat. What a combo. I cannot imagine using all three at once, but some of you are much more creative than I am. So with that, let's bring somebody that I feel lucky to call a colleague and a friend and my lefty in the bullpen, my funny friend, Pete Schwabe of, that's right, On Time, my friend. Welcome to the show, Pete. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. And by the way, that was the lefty. Get me the lefty out of the bullpen.
I see. Okay. I don't speak baseball sign language yet. I haven't perfected that yet.
That's about all I know.
Oh, that's good. So. Someone told me recently this means you should have stolen second, but that's never what a quick touch to the nose has ever meant for me. So different worlds, different strokes, different folks. Enough about that. Yeah. Pete, just for the folks, we're in the daytime right now. The sun is out. This is a weird time for both of us, I think.
Crazy.
Crazy.
But I'm adapting well. I was in the middle of preparing for my own show anyway, so glad you called.
Well, good stuff. I hope I'm going to try to not steal any of your thunder for this evening. But why don't you give us a taste just for folks? I think there's probably a lot of people. I certainly learned there's a lot of people who listen during the daytime who don't necessarily make it to the evening hour. So for them, Pete, who are you? What do you do? And what's Nightlight? What's this evening show we have now?
I am a former stand-up comedian. I'm a writer, primarily screenplays. I've written for TV as well. For the last few years, I've hosted a show on movie making on PBS. And for the last 3.5 months, I've hosted Nightlight here at Civic Media from 7 to 9 every night. We air statewide and we broadcast from our Green Bay studios, which is really fun. It's a great space. And I've managed to find the perfect gig to talk about every weird thing I've learned over the last 30 years in my career since I was 21 and somehow, you know, talk about it on the air, which is fun.
That's great. That's essentially what I did here is I you know, graduated film school, wandered around, found this radio station. And they said, look, if you know, do you know computers and how to talk and you can read decent? Get on in there. And I thought they didn't even ask me that when they admitted me to film school. So this is, you know, a very different ballpark.
Don't fall for that computer nonsense. They're a fad. They're going away. I would go back to pen and paper, Anya, whether you're writing or producing a radio show. There you go.
I've got them right here. Though I did, you know, I utilized the computer quite a bit. Pete, I thought I just heard you say on your own show recently you'd finally decided computers were sticking around. Has something occurred? What's got you back to the caveman days over there? What's happened?
You know, I just go for the joke, and I said something, and I've got the human encyclopedia that is on you,
no,
who remembers me saying one thing nullified my joke here.
And
so,
this is why none of the improv troops let me in, because later on in the sketch I would go, but didn't you say that was your brother? And everything falls apart. Well,
yeah, you have to have a short memory.
That's true.
Yeah, we got a great show tonight. Comedian Rich Scheidner will be along. He's been on The Tonight Show, David Letterman. He's been in all kinds of movies, written books about stand-up comedy. He's like one of the legends of stand-up. And then Ben Chan will be on. The Jeopardy rock star is going to stop by the studio and kind of put a bow on his Jeopardy run. He was on the show a couple weeks ago and he was so much fun. And then tomorrow night, I got a former Dwayne Wade backcourt mate, Todd Townsend, who played for Marquette, will be on to discuss the tournament a little bit. So all kinds of fun on Nightlight.
So you guys at the end of the day, you cover everything, film, music, sports, it sounds like, and comedy especially. You guys did a great episode on, was it National Laughter Day? Is that the right name for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and how it's... Yeah, go ahead.
No, yeah, we had some stand-ups on, and I always love having a guest on the show who I've never met before, because I do tend to rely on friends of mine I've met over the years to come on the show, but that was a really fun show because it was National Laughter Day. We talked to a comedy club owner, two stand-up comics, it was just a really fun way to capitalize on one of those national days. And there's a national day for everything, by the way. Today is National Wear a Hat, but Push It Slightly Back, Show a Little Bit of Forehead, but Not Quite Your Hairline Day.
Oh, my.
So I don't know if you guys are.
What a complex time for us to be living in. I have my timer up over here, and it tells me also international days. I don't have that one. Mine just says Independence Day, in parentheses, Bangladesh. So happy Independence Day to all of our listeners in Bangladesh. I think it's probably very early in the morning for y'all over there, but that's what we have.
Well, that's an important day too.
Yeah,
I'm not
exactly
taking away from the Bangladeshians and their day. That's great. But I'm just saying today in my house,
in your house.
Celebrating the aforementioned. So
as you should.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, Pete, I know I'm not going to ask you any hardball questions about this tax incentive stuff, but talk to me in your time working in film. You know, are you originally from Wisconsin and you moved out to LA, or what was that journey for you?
Wisconsin is kind of my adopted home state. I lived in the city of Chicago till I was 12, just off the Kennedy Expressway in an area called Portage Park. Moved here up to the Marinette area, went to high school up here, back to Chicago for college, started doing stand-up comedy, went to LA for 14 years and kind of got away from comedy, got more into writing and was fortunate enough to sell some stuff. But it's funny, a lot of it never gets made. You know, you sell stuff and they pay good money for it and then they don't make it and it's weird. So,
oh, yeah.
So that kind of motivated me in the early 2000s to my writing partner is a guy named Greg Gliana who started the Meet the Parents franchise. And he shot Meet the Parents on a low budget, the original, which is hilariously funny. It's on YouTube. And I thought, you know, we sold a script to MGM called A Guy Thing, and they kind of paid us and said, go away. We did a couple rewrites, and then they brought in other writers, which is often the case. But I thought, man, I want to be on the set. I want to be, you know, part of the process. Yeah. So I did what Greg did, and he kind of helped me through it a little bit. And I made a film called The Godfather of Green Bay. We came back here to shoot it in Northeast Wisconsin. We did 20 days here, like a couple days in Vegas and about 3 or 4 days in LA. But that was so much more fun. And I, you know, I didn't really make any much money off it at all, but it was so much more fun to be immersed in the entire process rather than just taking a paycheck, which I'm not opposed to that either, but to be kind of hands-on in the filmmaking process. So that's how I kind of, yeah.
I like that. That's such a different background than what I envisioned for you. And I love that. And I just kind of wonder from your time when you were working in California, just to speak to kind of what we're going to get into later. You know, let's say you are still out in California, you write this script and you're like, everybody, it's a great script and it's all set in Wisconsin. How hard is that with Wisconsin not having the incentives right now? How likely is it that that script, that that California production company, Hollywood folks, that they're going to come all the way out here and do that? Is that something that happens without the incentives right now?
Only if you have Brad Cooper and Sydney Sweeney attached to the project.
Okay.
Yeah, it's tough. Pardon me. It is tough because it's so competitive right now. Like even our neighbor, Minnesota, has a double incentive. They have a state incentive and then they have the Iron Range, which is up north. They have another incentive and that's where we were going to shoot a film before the strike happened. So, you know, you can double dip. You're not going to get the full both incentives combined, but you'll overlap. And let's say if the incentive total is 55%, you could probably get maybe 40% of it. And that's a lot. Like that's a rebate that goes right to your investors if you're an independent filmmaker. So, but if I would love to shoot my film here in Wisconsin, and I certainly could, but you have investors to think of, you want to return people's money to them, it's a no-brainer. You go where the incentives are. As much as I love Wisconsin and I've shot a film here, and it was almost like having incentives because we got a lot of favors and people helped us out a lot, but it's still not that bottom line that you can return to investors.
Makes perfect sense to me, Pete. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on, for being my lefty in the bullpen. If I've learned anything in radio, it's to always have a stand-up on hand to say, can you just come warm people up for me before I have to go out there all alone? Thank you for doing that for informing our listeners.
I'm happy to do it. And Jeff Kurz could speak to it more than I could in terms of what's going on now. But yeah, it's very important. Yeah.
Great stuff. Well, thank you again, Pete. You can catch Pete's show every night. Is it 7 to 9 or 7 to 10?
7 to 9 every night, Monday through Friday.
Every night.
Every school night.
Every school night. Perfect. Well,
and Friday.
And Friday. Yeah. When we get back, I'm going to talk more about filmmaking. And this is Freedom by Beyonce, taking you to the break.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Heard the catchphrase that's sweeping the nation?
Jackson Hugh, yeah!
People are saying Jackson Hugh, yeah, to Jackson Hewitt because they love saving money on tax prep. Do you love saving money? Then switch to Jackson Hewitt today and pay less than last year. Thousands of people have already made the switch. Why haven't you? Stop waiting and start filing. You won't get a better deal or a better catchphrase. all together now.
Jackson Hugh, yeah!
Proof of prior year payment required when filing. New clients only at participating locations through April 7th. Terms at jacksonhewitt.com.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
What is up, Wisconsin, and welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, sans Maggie Dawn. But when you take that out, then it's just the show, and I feel like that doesn't tell you enough about it. So welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, hosted by her producer, Anya Esther. If you missed our first segment, don't worry. We record these things. We keep them for you, like leftovers from Thanksgiving. They are in the fridge that is the Civic Media app. If you don't have it already, download it, because later on, in a little over a half hour, we're going to be kicking off once again our hour of the Ride Into Spring contest, our statewide contest, where you, if you text in a word I'll give you at that time, could be entered to win a trip to Chula Vista, a stay at Chula Vista in the Wisconsin Dells, not to mention you'll be entered to win a bike, a blender, and some patio furniture, a love seat, if I understand correctly. All of that being said, if you missed our first segment with Pete Schwabe of Nightlight, you can go back and listen to it. Make sure you're checking out Nightlight either when it's live from 7 to 9, or like I said, it's recorded. It's a great show. If you enjoy listening to our station, but you get through the whole day of politics and headlines and you think, man, I just need a respite, the great thing is we have it right here on the station. That's Nightlight. It's your respite every night from politics, the harder topics of the day. And even this show today, you know, I'm not going to be covering anything Trump has said because I just don't care what Trump has said. And I'm not covering anything with polling numbers because that's not my expertise. Film isn't even really my expertise. I just have one degree in it. But it's the closest thing I have. So indulge me, won't you? And allow me to indulge someone who's quite often much, much more informed about just about everything. It's Joanne from Madison. Joanne, how are you today? And what's your question or comment for the show?
Really great to talk to you. My question's about smoking in films. There's so much smoking, it's alarming. I don't see a lot of films, but for example, Anatomy of a Fall, smoking throughout this film, and the smoking was, you know, it had some dramatic impact, okay? But what I'm worried about is people thinking, oh, wow, it's cool to smoke now or whatever. I'm an academic, and I'm finding an increase in smoking among my peers, and I'm just wondering if films are part of this. Now, to relate it to what you're talking about film incentives, maybe we could put in a film incentive package a line that smoking has to be reduced somewhat. You know, eliminating it completely is just, you know, impossible, but not having it as the focal point of the film as it was in Anatomy of a Fall. So thanks so much for this great topic.
Well, and thank you, Joanne. I don't have enough insight into this to say with certainty, but if I recall correctly, there were changes, the whole thing with implementing what can and can't be in films, you know, in a post-Hays Code world where you don't have just one, you know, entity covering what's allowed to be published on film. You end up with union rules, essentially, right? Union rules cover everything from there's a lot of stuff about on-set safety for minors, on-set safety regarding stunts, when you're using cars. There's a lot of stuff to that point. But writing, you know, what can get written into a film, for example, the character smoking, is an interesting topic. Now, if I recall correctly, changes were made regarding smoking in children's films. And there may be something having to do with how films are rated, whether they're G for, you know, everybody, or rated R all the way up to R, or even NC-17, whatever that is, X, any of those, right? And that has to do with the content, the imagery, including, I think, in certain cases, maybe it's just in America, smoking. For example, you can't put out a, you know, a Care Bears film where there's no swearing in it. There's no, I don't know, adult activity, but they're just, you know, each of them is smoking a pack and get away with it still being a G-rated film. You can't do that anymore. But great question, Joanne. And I think you're right. An incentive to say, you know, what kind of media are you creating? Now, we immediately get into some interesting waters about, well, what else can we say is or isn't in a film? But I think to the point of the representation of smoking, we took away at a federal level the right for cigarette companies to advertise through, you know, on TV commercials. You'll never again see Joe Camel skateboard across your screen in between episodes of Law and Order, right? And I think it's illegal, and I don't know, but I think it's not permissible for them to advertise in, like, comic books and magazines. I might be wrong about that part. Yeah, I think I am. I think I've seen a snuff ad in a, like a chew ad, now that I think of it. But certainly film, you could argue, and television to a certain extent, is the last holdout for cigarette companies to sort of present themselves as the choice item of the intellectual, the choice item of the vagabond, the choice item of whoever it is that they want to manipulate into smoking. And all of this is to talk about smoking without talking about vaping, without talking about other representations of drug use. I think we could really get into some interesting and also fraught waters trying to discuss what we can and can't show. But it harkens back to as well, perhaps, when Wisconsin's highway funding was attached to changing our drinking age laws. If I understand it correctly, we were one of the last states, if not the last state, where 18 was the drinking age. And in order for us to get enough money to fix our highways, we had to agree to get on board with everybody else's program. Now, I'll just say the highways I've driven on in this state, I don't know if we got the short straw in that deal, but I think you have a point when it comes to the morality of things, or what we see as being the best choice for a community and how we represent that community. And maybe that is a topic of discussion. What does the world look like where Wisconsin is represented on film as often or the same way that New York, L.A., Las Vegas, any of these cities are? Are those representations, are those portrayals, ones that bring about good things for us, or ones that bring about negative things for us? I think our guest, Jeff Kurz, is going to have excellent insight into the type of these incentives as they relate to taxes, as they relate to getting businesses out in other places to come here and shoot their film. But certainly the discussion of, look, once we do start making films, are we going to have some discussion of how we look on camera? The camera already adds 5 pounds. Do we also want it to add yellow teeth from smoking? I don't know. But great question, Joanne. Always love to hear from you and from all of our callers. You can call into the show at 855-752-4842. This next half hour, we're going to continue to break down films in Wisconsin, films that have been made in Wisconsin, things of this nature. Then at 3 p.m., we have both our fantastic guest as well as our Ride into Spring program. Taking you to the break, I got to hear the song a little to remember what you're listening to. That is Glass Heart by Miley Cyrus. Enjoy.
Tuesday on Nightlight, I welcome comedian, author Rich Scheidner and Jeopardy rock star Ben Chan. It's Nightlight, 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Top Chef Effect is about to sweep over Wisconsin. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. Tomorrow evening, Top Chef, a food show on the Bravo Network, will debut season 21, and it's all about Wisconsin. They've filmed the show in Milwaukee, Madison, as well as additional locations across the state. And they're including not only Wisconsin food ingredients and food stories, but Wisconsin farms. For example, the Hop Yard in Paoli, Wisconsin, played host to one of the crews for Top Chef as they investigated Wisconsin hop production. Rich Joseph, who's in charge of Hop Yard production, says he's optimistic that they'll see something about the farm come tomorrow evening.
I spent a good part of a day talking to them about hops and showing them our locations and things like that, and then, but then they came out, and in August, middle of August, brought a film crew out, and spent a good chunk of the day here doing aerial video and video of us harvesting hops and showing them what the hops, you know, our harvesting process and our drying process, and so we're really hoping that we get some B-roll, you know, of our hop farm on the show this Wednesday.
Rich Joseph from the Hop Yard. He's got locations in Paoli and Evansville and hoping that they see their hops and their farming operation on the premiere Top Chef Season 21 episode that airs tomorrow evening, 8 p.m. Central Time on the Bravo Network.
Microbials play a critical role in the health and vitality of livestock. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer, veterinarian and founder of BioVet, your leading source for high-quality microbial and nutritional products that support growth, health, and production in livestock. Listen to our Microbials Matter podcast at bio-vet.com as experts discuss health, digestion, and support for livestock. Visit bio-vet.com and click on podcast.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
And today is the beginning of the 62nd annual WPS Farm Show at the EAA Grounds in Oshkosh. Just a quick reminder, show hours 9 a.m. till 4 p.m. today and tomorrow, 9 until 3 on Thursday. Cost of admission is free, but you pay $5 for parking. I'm PM Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A wintry mix of rain and snow is flipping over to all snow as temperatures are falling below freezing by 4 o'clock. Battling breezy winds, around a half an inch of snow accumulation is possible, not to mention a flash freeze of anything that's wet. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 35.
The Todd Alba Show.
Our ride into spring continues. We have some great prizes to give away. A weekend getaway at Chula Vista Resort, a bike, and a three-way blender.
A three-in-one blender.
Oh, three-in-one. So I misread that. We're having our own political threesome
Todd
here.
Todd Alba going with the After Dark Show all of a sudden.
It's always
this
a pleasure.
Is Civic Media, not Cinemax, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News Talk for Homan on Alaska and, of course, La Crosse. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of La Crosse.
17, Renaissance daydream, pretty face.
What is up, Wisconsin? Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show with someone who is once again not Maggie Dawn. I know it says it on the name of the show, and yet here I am, Anya, the producer, sitting in for Maggie Dawn. If you didn't hear our first half hour, again, we record them. They're on the app, the Civic Media app. You can get it wherever you get all your other apps. And we had a great discussion with, or I had a great discussion with, that you guys got to hear, Pete Schwabe of Nightlight, our evening time arts recreation kind of show, a show for after all the headlines are done for the day when the news cycle is wrapping up, or at the very least, you are wrapping up what energy you have left for listening to it. I certainly get that as the producer who's here at the end of the day. By the time Busted Pencils is done, I'm like, you know what? I do need to just hear from like an assortment of stand-up comics about their favorite movies for a little bit. That is exactly what I need. And I'm of the belief that exactly what Wisconsin needs is, personally, I think these tax incentives that you're going to hear about at the top of the hour. And I want to express why I think this is something Wisconsin needs. First of all, Wisconsin is a gorgeous state. I don't have to probably convince anybody listening to this that this is true. In Wisconsin, you can go from state parks that are sand dunes akin to something you would see on Tatooine and Star Wars to a huge open lake that, as far as filming goes, could very easily pass for an oceanfront at times. Our seasons go from hot, you know, you can have you can shoot out in a field where it's 100 degrees, the sun is beating down over a clear sky, and you can also come back 6 months later and shoot a film where you have two folks skiing down a mountain through feet and feet of snow that dropped the night before. And that's to just talk about our natural resources and just a few of them, not to mention that this state has a fantastic assortment of towns and cities of all varying sizes. If you want to come to a big city to shoot something that can pass for parts of Chicago or New York, you've got Milwaukee. You want to shoot somewhere that could pass for parts of Boston or some of these other East Coast cities, get yourself to Madison. And anything else you're looking for, somewhere between where the UP border begins and the Illinois border begins, somewhere between those two, you're going to find exactly what you need in Wisconsin. I'm of that belief. And not only that, the people of Wisconsin and the vast industries that we have here, I just want to highlight that I worked for a TV show some of you may have heard of called American Idol. I worked for them for quite literally one day as they were passing through in 2019 for the third season that ABC owned. Okay, so right before COVID, in fact, October before COVID, I was under the impression as a PA I would be doing just things that I had learned in film. I wasn't done with film school yet, but I thought, here I'll be, you know, putting camera lenses on, and I don't know, they weren't shooting on film, but I thought I'd be changing out SD cards. And just to highlight how many different industries were highlighted, I worked during that 17-hour day, if you can call that one day, a 17-hour day on set. I worked in their craft services, which is food, alongside local catering companies that had been hired. Later on, when I was put with their contestant management, I was alongside many, many other college students from around the area and many who had traveled even from Chicago or from up north Wisconsin to work on this set, whether they were college students in film like myself or they were college students in communications or they were just college students who were like, I'm going to go work for American Idol. Why not? I could go, you know, hang out with Lionel Richie or something, right? That's what drives college students for sure. When I was put on their transportation department, I was working alongside fleet vehicles that had been rented from a local company and driving them and their contents, whether those were folks, people, or supplies, to and from our two locations, the Milwaukee Art Museum, which is where we shot the episode in, or where a lot of their people who were traveling with them were staying alongside some of the other offsite work they were doing, at the Pfister Hotel downtown. Again, another business now. And in that building, you're not going to believe this, I was working for parts of their production that included things like the American Idol psychology department. That's something I'll let you guys look up on your own. But with that, we had local professionals in the mental health services, in the security services, in the investigatory services there to ensure the safety of everyone. That's how I'll phrase it, right? Every instance that I'm talking about here, and these are just the parts that I was put on just as a PA, just getting bounced from part of the production to different part of the production. I should say, by the way, that PA means production assistant. You're just assisting the production in any way you can. Every part of it that I touched, or every part that I was put on, included needing services provided by local purveyors of those services, right? They had a lot of stuff that they brought with them from California, right? They weren't necessarily partaking in the camera rental opportunities that we had, although I'm sure that those would come in handy. But they needed people to come provide breakfast. They needed a company that had X number of fleet vehicles. And these companies, you know, they don't exist just for the benefit of the film industry. And yet the film, and in this case, the television industry showing up here, benefited them and subsequently benefited us. And I'm just talking about a reality TV show right now. Reality TV misses a lot of elements that film and what we would call narrative TV need, like costumers and set decor. We had engineers and people like that, technicians and electricians, I should say, building up the lights and the structures needed for, all the lights and things for that show. But when you start talking about opportunities for fictional things to come to this state, things where they go, we love how this this acred part of this part of the woods looks. All it needs is a log cabin that we want to pay to build. Okay. They just need a state, a place to do that, that they're going to be able to convince their investors to go to. And once they've convinced them that that's Wisconsin, they're not bringing the necessarily Mr. Log Cabin Builder from Main Street, Los Angeles. They're talking to Mr. Cabin Builder at Main Street Hayward because that's where they're going to shoot the film and they're going to get somebody local to do it, right? This doesn't happen in every instance. I don't want to oversell the idea that like a caravan, a film production rolls into a state and uplifts the entire local economy. But consider this akin to many of the other things that we have in Wisconsin that have proven to bring in great economic forces. For example, Summerfest. The world's largest music festival is here in Wisconsin. And for me, it's like a stone's throw from my entire life. And some of the greatest performers in the world show up here to perform. And if they're not here to perform, they're here to see whoever it is that they like because they're probably performing at Summerfest, right? Even the likes of Lollapalooza, only an hour and a half south of us in Chicago, and that's if there's no traffic, is kind of failing to pull up the same urgency with their headliners this year as even Summerfest is. That's Wisconsin, baby. That is what we've created with our year-long festival space by saying we want to have spaces for the arts to be performed, for the arts to be seen. Lollapalooza, if I understand it, they have to set that up and tear it down every year. And every year it leads to huge issues in the city that I don't know if they end up in the end outweighing the economic benefit that festival brings to Chicago, right? But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that these events, these things, do benefit this state. We saw it with Harley Fest, the choice for Harley Fest to go from every 5 years, Harley Homecoming, that is, in Milwaukee, to go from every 5 years to it happening every single year. And that's not just because the Foo Fighters put on such a good show last year. It's because, and I saw the exodus from the park downtown after the Foo Fighters left. Every Harley driver on earth, I think, was there. And when the band left, they didn't just go home. They didn't just drive back on their Harleys to wherever they were from. If they went anywhere, they went to their hotel. That's one. Or maybe they went to the bar or a restaurant. That's two. Even if they went to hang out with their friends who live here, their friends went to the grocery store or the liquor store or wherever they went to prepare for them. That's four and five. The economic benefits of these really casual instances are felt in this state. So it shouldn't be hard to reckon with the idea that returning to this state, the tax incentives that we had previously to an industry that so often touches so many different industries when it does choose the place that it's going to create its production, right? As Pete Schwab said, he summarized it in one sentence so that I didn't have to ramble this long, but it's a no-brainer. It's quite obvious the benefit that it would bring, and it's quite obvious that we as a state are being left out of benefits that our neighbors, like Minnesota, like Illinois, are receiving. Not to go too far off topic, but I can think of another benefit to living in those two states that Wisconsin doesn't have, that Wisconsin's actually like kind of the donut hole in a sea of having, shall I say, legalization, right? All these things, whether it's tax incentives, whether it's legalization, come back to Wisconsin is a great state. Why aren't we letting anybody else know that? We have, I won't say infinite because I don't want to make it seem like we could be reckless with our natural resources, but we have a plethora, truly a plethora, an almost unending, it seems, opportunity just in what our state has to offer in its appearance from north to south, east to west, whether you're looking for open waters or you're looking for dense woods, if you're looking for an icy desert, an Arctic desert, or something that appears to be a real desert, it is here and it is surrounded by industries and the hospitality that want to succeed alongside them. So what's left? Well, what's left is we're going to have a great guest on in our next section or at the top of the hour to discuss the, let's just say, the minutiae of this. What are these numbers? What are we looking at? And what is left in this fight when it comes to getting this bill passed? And what is this state, I think, going to look like? Or not what I think. Let's talk about what is this state going to look like once we have these incentives returned? What does it look like economically? What does our state look like in terms of opportunities for artisans and industrialites alike? I think it's a great vision. I'm getting excited just thinking about it. If you want to tell me your thoughts on it, whether what you think this state would look like once film incentives are returned, what you think the outlook looks like right now, opportunities you see for this that I've not highlighted, you can give us a call at 855-752-4842 and keep that number handy because, like I said, top of the hour, we're going to have a great guest, Jeff Kurz, on to talk about these film incentives. And we're also going to kick off our, I keep saying it like this and tripping myself, hour of the Ride into Spring statewide contest where you have the opportunity to win a trip, a stay at the Chula Vista Resort. You also have the opportunity to win a bike, a blender, and some patio furniture. What you do with them is up to you. Don't go anywhere. You do not want to miss the end of this section, and you cannot miss next hour. It's going to be great. I have been Anya Esther. This has been the Maggie Dawn Show. We'll be back in about a minute.
Eagle, 1490 AM.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes?
With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
I know you wanted me to stay, but I can't ignore the crazy visions of me in LA. I heard that there's a special place where boys and girls can all be queens every single day.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. You are listening to Pink Pony Club by Chappell Ronan, a song about a young woman whose dreams lead her out to LA, although her soul truly belongs in Tennessee. And I relate to this song a little more than I should at times as a Wisconsin girl. I was born in Stevens Point. I grew up I can't get my words out of my mouth today. Maybe it's because I'm a Wisconsin girl. I was born in Stevens Point. I grew up for the first 10 years of my life near the UP border, grew up the next almost a decade of years in Wausau, and now I've been living in Milwaukee ever since 2017. And this whole time, I have wanted to be in the arts. There's a thin period of time from 2016 to 2017 where I thought I was going to be a diplomat. That's actually how I started going to UWM. But in the end, the art school won me over, and I left with a film degree that I'm very, very happy with. But the whole time I have lived in Wisconsin, in fact, when I was really, really, really young and I wanted to be an actress and a singer and a dancer and a fashion designer, you know, all the things that you're told don't happen here, I was really, really upset with, like, fate, that I had been, in whatever fate means, that I'd been fated to be born in Wisconsin. Because as a really little kid, especially living so far up north, up by Park Falls, up by Mercer, I lived in Springstead specifically, you know, there isn't really a sense that anybody who's living there is going to make a movie or that they're going to make a TV show. Or at least there wasn't when I was living there, not because there was some sort of, I don't know, fatalistic tendency, but just these things didn't happen up there. If you wanted to own a tackle store, you could do that. If you wanted to be out in the outdoors professionally, you could do that. There were these awesome opportunities up north that existed in these other ways. But I felt deeply, like, upset that I was born and raised in Wisconsin, that it felt so perfectly in between all the places I wanted to be, that L.A. was so far out west, that New York was so far out east, that Atlanta was so far south, that Toronto felt so far away. And these were, like, and still are in many ways, hubs for film and television production and for arts. I'm so grateful that I stayed here, despite having grown up with this sort of sadness about, oh, Wisconsin isn't a place where these things happen, because I simply was not aware that arts of the scale I wanted to be involved in were here until a little production rolled up to the Bohemia Inn called Public Enemy. And Public Enemy had a little known star in it at the time, just some dude named Johnny Depp, who had not obviously done anything of note up to that point. And I'm just this kid. I don't remember how old I was when Public Enemy came out, but I was little. And I can see in my mind the car that Depp was in that drove by. And the whole town, all 12 of us, all 14 of us maybe, came out and saw this. And I went, oh my God, these things do happen here. And that was the first turn. The thing that changed my mind was occasionally people from outside of Wisconsin do come here to make things. And that was what I needed to keep me here for a bit. And I'm so thankful as I got older, especially into high school, middle school, when I was living in Wausau, and especially when I was in college and as I continue to live here in Milwaukee with a lot of travel back and forth to Madison, that it is not contingent inherently on people coming from out of state. Now, we're going to talk about these tax incentives, why they're important to bring people from out of state. But I just want to highlight as well, and we'll talk about this more at the end of next hour too, that these incentives can and will benefit those of us who are creatives, who are artist types, who are trying to do and have the type of careers that we were told only existed in LA and New York, and that we can have them here, and not even just in Milwaukee where I'm based, or even just in Madison where a lot of these things happen. But as these tax incentives hopefully get passed and people begin to take us up on them and come out here, see what we're all about, as they continue to go out into these places that have not seen film production hit their town before, you out there who hear me, who are the artist types who were like me, standing on the side of the road as one car with one celebrity went by and that changed your mind about this place, it's going to keep happening. It can keep happening. We can maintain an economic backing that continues to bring types who have the funding, who have the know-how, who have the connections to create the types of art that we're passionate about making. They are going to start bringing those things here, and gall darn it, if we know anything in Wisconsin, it's about taking something and perfecting it on our own, right? I learned so much from working with the California folks who came out with American Idol to work alongside them and see how a set worked. And I took some things from them and I learned from them and operated my set for my little short film like that. I also learned a lot from them about how far being helpful and being kind can go. And I use some of that in a different way from them. What I'm saying is, whether this is about bringing folks from out of state to come work alongside us, or whether this is about helping the folks who are already within our state get access to the things that they need, whether that's just cameras, whether that's just funding, whether that's just a room. There's so many young creatives, I say it myself all the time, who just go, I just need a warehouse. I just need a warehouse to do my crazy films in, or to have a place to perform my crazy play that I want to work in. And the truth about a lot of these big cities like New York and L.A. is they are wrought with empty spaces that artists can kind of just, you know, squat in. Whereas Wisconsin, you know, I don't know that we have them so much, but we do have a lot of fields that people want to shoot in. We have a lot of parks people want to shoot in. We have a lot of cities that look good and feel good and are kind and can pass for these other cities. And if we can pass for them, you know what? I'm happy to pass along the economic benefit to us as well. I think that's what it all comes down to. So enough of my trying to ramble. Top of this hour, we're going to have a fantastic guest on, Jeff Kurz, who is far more informed about these things than I am, and in fact, was a professor of mine when I was in film school, when I decided to stay here in Wisconsin. And you should decide to stay right here with Civic Media. We'll be back after the break. See you in a bit.
Mississippi to our left, Granddad on the right. We're right in the middle. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of La Crosse.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball, Wednesday noon to 2. It is Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olson right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allball Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But like when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
like to a former lover.
I got a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey. I'm a scorned former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Soaring high above lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Baltimore Bridge collapse. I'm Michelle Franzen. The National Transportation Safety Board.